Now we can continue talking about the kingdom this morning from a different angle. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. God's been talking to us about dependence on the Spirit. Kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power. That He's given us the keys of the kingdom. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said, that is, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near, or at hand. Repent and believe the good news. I think it's probably true to say that most evangelism is upside down. Because so often when Christians are trying to evangelize the lost, they focus upon the person, the needs of the person. You're a sinner in need. Instead of doing what Jesus did, where he put the focus on the kingdom. What people need is the revelation that God wants to give them a kingdom. Amen. That gives them an incentive, a motive to do whatever is necessary to receive that kingdom. And if what is necessary is to repent and believe when you've explained what that means, then they are prepared to do it. At least in my experience, in the evangelism groups that I've taken throughout my ministry, we've had about a 98% success rate because we always started with revelation of what God wants to give. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel is a gospel of grace, which means it's a gospel that focuses upon what God wants to give, not on what we need to do. What we need to do is the response to the revelation of what God wants to give. Which again is why it's not very effective to try to lead people on the street through a sinner's prayer when they haven't received any revelation of what it's all about. As you know, usually people respond in that way just to get rid of you, not because they're genuinely repenting or genuinely believing anything. There are always the odd exceptions of those who have heard the gospel and are prepared, and it's just the reaping time for them. We're approaching a week of wonders, which will start on Sunday, not on Thursday. And if we're going to see the wonders that we want to see, the focus will not be upon us, but it will be upon the Lord and upon the kingdom. Amen. Upon God's grace, upon what He wants to give, what He wants to do. We, of course, have a part to play in that because it's a question of interaction between God and His children. So it's important for us to understand our part so long as we realize that our part is a response to the centrality of Jesus and of what He wants to do among His people. Am I speaking in English that everybody understands? Okay, so as I was praying early this morning, God sort of summed all this up for me in a phrase, which I'm going to write up here. It's amazing how God can put so much into a simple sentence. Those who hear my voice see my power. Now, you see that that was the principle that ran all the way through Jesus' ministry. He heard the voice of his Father, did what his Father was telling him to do. So what was the result? The power. The wonders, the signs, accompany what God says. Now, it's not just a question of those who read my word, but those who hear my voice. We're talking about a living situation that comes out of relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm going to do two things this morning. First, talk about how you hear God in meetings, and then how you hear God in the rest of your life so that you see his power. What God doesn't want is you turning up next week for a series of meetings just trusting that you're going to see something mighty. Every one of you needs to go to every evening meeting next week knowing what God is going to do before you get there. You won't have seen it, but you'll have heard it. When I used to travel with a regular team, a mission team, we spent a lot of time praying together, hours and hours, and waiting on God. And before every meeting, we would spend some considerable time in prayer. Not praying so much for the meeting, but simply meeting with God. And what I was teaching all the members of the team to do was to hear what God was saying about what he was going to do during that meeting. I would always have, before I prayed with the others, got a pretty good idea of the direction in which the Spirit was leading. So I wasn't getting my inspiration from the team. But I was teaching them how to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit so that they would know the drift of the meeting and actually be able to hear the specific miracles that were going to take place during the meeting. And then, of course, afterwards, we would check through what we'd heard. And it was greatly encouraging to them, you see, to receive revelation that a particular miracle was going to happen, and then it happened. And what I was training them to do was to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit and to recognize that every time we have a meeting of whatever kind, the only thing that matters is what God's plan for that meeting is. He always has a plan. Yes. He always has a number of things that he wants to accomplish during a service, during a meeting, during any coming together of the body of Christ. So next week, and this week we're getting ready for next week God will have a purpose for every single meeting. Now, there will be a purpose that builds up over the course of the whole week. But in every meeting, God will have a specific purpose. He will have objectives that he intends to fulfill. And of course, it is particularly incumbent on those who speak and who lead meetings to know what that objective is. So that when we come to lead a meeting, we're not just coming in the vague expectation that the Spirit of God is going to do something, but actually we have revelation of what he's going to do. Now, of course, this is biblical because the Lord says that before he does something, he declares it. So if God is going to move in a meeting, he will declare to someone what he is going to do during that meeting. Especially if we're not content just with words. You know, so many preachers, they're only concerned when they start a meeting about what they're going to say. But you see, what God wants us to be concerned about is not just what he wants to say, but what he wants to do. What he is going to do as a result of what is said. That's why it makes no sense to have preaching that is not followed in some way by ministry. Whether it's something we do all corporately, whether it's aimed at particular individuals or particular groups of people, every preaching of the word always needs to be followed by some kind of response time. Otherwise, God's purposes are going to be frustrated. Because he not only wants to speak to his people, he always wants to act among them. He's a doing God, not just a speaking God. I'm trying to put this simply. So, he wants revelation for all those who actually are participating. All those who are present, in other words. Not just for those guys who are up front leading the meeting. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Say everybody.
Everybody.
Say all.
All.
Now, those are three different words, but they all end up with meaning that God is directing what he says to everyone, everybody, and all. Are you there? Okay, verse 5. I would like everyone, say everyone, of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Who's he talking about?
Everyone.
Who's he talking about?
Everyone.
He's saying that he would rather have everyone prophesy. What do you do when you prophesy? You hear God's voice. If you don't hear God, keep your mouth shut. Because it won't be prophecy. It might be something else that you want to say, but it won't come from him. So prophecy is when God is speaking to and then through his people. It's not foretelling the future. That's only one aspect of prophecy. It's not treating God like some kind of divine fortune teller to let us know what is going to happen. It is hearing the voice of God and speaking what he says. Yes. Now, Paul is saying, this is for all. Amen? It's for every single one. And if you look at verse 24, but if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody, say everybody,
everybody
is what? Prophesying. Everybody is prophesying. Now, Paul wants to get some orders, so he says we only need two or three at a meeting. But you see, clearly the chaos that was existing in the worship in Corinth is because everybody was prophesying. Nobody was listening to anybody else. But the point is that everybody prophesies. Now, when there's a meeting of several hundred people in the NRC, there's no time for us to hear all those prophetic words. But if everybody can prophesy, everybody can hear the voice of God. Because you can't prophesy unless you do hear. Are we breathing?
Yes.
Then in verse 31, Paul says, for you can all, say all. All what? All what?
Prophesy.
For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Everyone, everybody, all. So God doesn't want anybody turning up at the meetings next week with a passive frame of mind. I wonder what I'm going to hear. I wonder if it's going to be a good message. I wonder why the worship's going to be great. I wonder whether I'm going to meet with God. I wonder whether I'm going to see anything mighty happening. You come full of revelation because you have prepared by listening. When I started to get into words of well, they usually called words of knowledge, and they're probably words of revelation, about what God wanted to do in meetings many years ago, I would always sit and write down a list of the miracles that were going to happen during the meeting, before the meeting. And I would have on the pulpit just the list of miracles, because I knew that God was going to do every one of those things. He might do a whole lot of other things as well. Because, you know, once he starts, you sort of, like jump starting something, you're away. But you do know that whatever he says he's going to do, he will do. And I mean, this wasn't, you know, somebody's sore back or somebody's got a headache or, I mean, these are miracles. Things that cannot be done by anyone else other than the Lord God Almighty. Now, this is the purpose of next week, to get the whole church moving in the miraculous. So, you can learn to hear the voice of God by writing down before every meeting what you believe God is going to do. Not what you want him to do, but what you hear him saying he will do. And as the week progresses, I mean, you keep doing this and you can check out which of those things you see. Now, just because you don't see them doesn't mean they don't happen, because some things are unseen. But usually God will reveal to you the things that will be seen, the things that will be discernible. So every one of us, you see, is we're on the line, really. And I'm not just talking to the students, I'm talking to all the staff members, everybody. Any church members that are here? This is not an exercise for the students. This is teaching all of us how to move in the prophetic, how to move in the miraculous. Now, of course, when you hear God, as you're preparing for a meeting, you have to believe what he says. Why? Because we're talking about moving by faith. Faith hears, faith comes from hearing, but you believe what you hear, and because you believe what you hear, you will see what you hear. It's faith that translates the word or the promise into the event. It's the power of God that does it, but it's faith in him that releases the power. This is the principle of salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. So our faith needs to be operating. And if you get something wrong, That doesn't matter if something, because you are not going to affect the course of events if you get something wrong. You sure can affect the course of events if you get something right. But, you know, it's very easy when you're learning to do this that you get a little bit of soulish element because there's someone you know who's got some particular need and you somehow want to believe that God is somehow going to meet that need. Therefore, somehow you have to hear that that's what he's going to do. So, you know, you'll find that the Lord will talk to you about situations you know nothing about. You may even hear some strange things that you can't even understand. Well, what does that mean? Or how on earth can that happen? But God, if he is speaking, of course, if it's God, he will show you what it means and he will do it. Now, from the Word of God, this is God's purpose for all, everyone, everybody. So you're not a passive bystander, spectator at what is happening. You are a participant. And God wants to speak to you as we have our prayer meetings here to prepare for next week. God will no doubt give prophetic input then. Whether you're praying in groups, whether you're praying personally, whether we're all praying together, and those prophetic words are to be believed because then we will see that which God speaks of. Are we all in this morning?
Yes.
So it's exciting. Because it's not going to simply be a week of wonders, but it's going to be a week of your wonders. I mean, there's a sense in which you feel personally identified with what is happening because God spoke to you about it. You know, even though it may not be happening to you, you get a sense of, oh, that's my miracle. That's the one he spoke to me about. That's the one I prayed for. That's the one I've been believing that I would see because I heard it from God. That's greatly encouraging. Now, of course, life is more than meetings. But it's good that we're going to have a whole week of meetings because this is going to get you focused. But what God wants is after the God of Wonders conference, he wants you to stay focused so that you go on hearing every day, believing every day, expecting the miraculous every day. If not in your own life, then in others around you, others who in some way your life touches. We see the state the nation is in. There is only one answer for the nation, and it's not God. Because God is already in the nation. It's the supernatural power of God being revealed. We have to see a restoration of the supernatural. It's not going to happen by having conferences about how to communicate on the internet or the media or this or that. All that has its place. But unless we back up all our words, no matter how we speak those words, with the supernatural demonstration of God's power, we can forget all about seeing this nation change. It'll just be words, 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 words. It'll just be moving things around from one context to another context. And there really will be very little, if any, expansion of the kingdom of God. If we're going to see an expansion of the kingdom of God, we're going to see a release of power. We're going to see demonstrations of the supernatural that about which there can be no argument.
Come on. Yes, yes, yes.
I remember being in a situation once where people, there were those present who doctrinally did not believe that miracles were for today, that healings, that all healings were in some sense spurious. And there was at that meeting, that particular night, a young girl who came blind, and she came forward and gave testimony at the end that although when she arrived at the meeting she was blind and two of her friends came forward with her to testify, she was totally blind, now I can see. So I turned to these skeptics and I said, how do I tell somebody who came to a meeting blind and now can see that they can't really see because healings aren't really real? You see, it takes all the argument out of it. Even the Pharisees could not doubt that Jesus was doing many miraculous things. They didn't say these miracles weren't really happening. They tried to explain them away. Well, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he's casting out devils. They said all kinds of things like that. But they actually admitted when they were talking amongst themselves, we cannot deny that this man is doing mighty things. Yes. But why does the church have the reputation of doing mighty things in this nation? I don't care how big a church is, it's what it does that matters, not how big it is. Because if we're going to see the nation impacted, we have to produce what God has given us. And that is a gospel, not of words, but of power. The good news is the power of God. The sovereign rule and reign of God is at hand. It's available. So if people repent and believe, they will see the power. I'm using this word see, because this is the challenge. Well, I don't want orange cards where you hear one thing saying, oh, did that really happen? Oh, that's good. I want people to see what God is doing. I will have some orange cards as well. But everybody to know the power of God was at work tonight. Not just, oh, wasn't that a good meeting? You know, the presence of the Lord. Oh, that was good. No, we want fruit. Not spine tickling. Not goosebumps. But fruit. That will last. You see, what Paul is saying here to the Corinthians is if non-believers come into a prophetic meeting where you're hearing God and seeing His power, they're going to come under conviction of sin. Things are going to happen to them. They're not going to go away saying, well, that was interesting. I might come again sometime. I mean, they probably won't be able to get outside the door until they've been born again. Yes. Because of the convicting power of God. Yes. Yes. They will be amazed that their needs have been met. Even before they've come to know the Lord. See, my expectations are great for next week. We don't have to wait till next week. But that's just a focus for us, you see. Foci are very useful for helping people to get motivated in the body of Christ. so they don't just drift along in the same old way. We know how to do meetings, don't we? We do know how to do meetings, but we've forgotten how to do the kind of meetings that I'm talking about. So God is going to change the nature of the meetings. Then, of course, after that, you will realize, well, wait a minute, I heard God, and he did this and that and the other. So the following week and the following week and the following week, I'm going to go on hearing God. I'm going to go on listening to God, telling me what he's going to do, not only in my life, what he's going to do in others' lives, what he's going to do through me. So it becomes a way of life. I think those of us who minister at Kingdom Faith, we often get a sense of the general kind of thing that God is going to do, because that's really where we're at present. But what God has been saying to me these last days is now the general has got to give way to the very specific. That just praying general prayers, having general faith that God will move in a general way, is not going to get the job done for the next stage of God's purposes. We've got to be very specific, very focused, very determined to see the specific things that God reveals actually being accomplished. So this is where the rubber really hits the road. Amen. So you see, what is going to happen as a result is you are going to move into another gear in your personal relationship with the Lord. Okay, now let me just round this off by talking about hearing the Lord. The first thing we've got to do is to debunk most of what people think about prophecy. You know, God save us from self-pretentious prophets. I think they're the most self-pretentious group of people in the body of Christ. A person only has to think that he's got a prophetic ministry, and they think they're something special. Whereas, you see, prophecy is for all, everybody. Everyone. And so, if we sort of put prophecy on a pedestal, we'll put prophets on a pedestal. Now, there are very few prophets around. Let's leave prophets out of it for a moment. Because what we want to talk about is prophecy, is about the prophetic, is about everybody, everyone, all who have the ability to hear God and speak what he's saying. So it's not something special. As far as God is concerned, it's something ordinary. It's something that should be taking place every day in the life of every believer. It's the fulfillment of what is promised in the Old Testament about the establishing of the New Testament. They will all know me, says the Lord. Now, if you know someone, you can hear them speak. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have the voice of God within you. Now, let me tell you why so many people get confused when they're trying to listen to the voice of God. They get confused when they want to try to determine the content of the conversation. Because then you will hear what you want to hear. The only way to really learn to listen to the voice of the Lord is to let Him speak to you about what He wants to speak to you about. To hear Him saying what He wants to say about the subject He wants to bring up. Now, you see, if I just turn to Psalm 139. As soon as you start asking God questions, as soon as you start trying to get Him to talk about this situation, that situation, the other situation, you will be so confused as to whether you're listening to the Spirit, listening to the soul, listening to the devil, listening to something somebody else said, listening to something you read. You will be in utter confusion. Yep. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. I mean, this is somebody who knows you. If you're concerned about something, He knows you're concerned about it. And He knows, therefore, that He needs to speak into that, but He needs to do that in His way and at His time, when you're probably not thinking about that situation that concerns you, so that you know that what is being said comes from Him and not your reasoning. Which is why, you see, God will speak to you next week, day by day by day by day, about what He's going to do in the meetings, because you are seeking to hear His agenda. You're letting Him dictate the conversation. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. I mean, this is someone who knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's going on inside you. You are putting into practice a recipe for confusion if you try to dictate the content of any conversation with God. But you seek just to listen to Him because of who He is. I mean, He is your Lord, He is your Savior, He is your Father, He is your friend, He is with you, He is the one who is in you. And God has put His Spirit within you. Now, I don't know if I can even succeed in doing this, but I'm going to have a bash. I just want to try to explain God to you. Is that all right? I mean, it's quite a big thing to attempt, but I want to explain something about God to you, how God operates. You see, there's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. And they're all one. They're all one God. They're not three gods. Three persons, but one God. So there's never any division between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Father is reigning in heaven, Jesus is at His right-hand side, and the Holy Spirit is in every believer. And the Holy Spirit is there to sort of let each believer know what the Father and Son are doing. The Spirit is always in contact with the Father and the Son. So the Spirit who lives in you is the same as the Spirit who lives in me. But He is listening in. He is always totally at one with the Father and the Son. And He is in me and He is in you just to let us know what the Father and Son are saying and doing and about to do. So there's nothing mystical about it. There's no sort of, "Ooh, I heard the Lord." I mean, it should just be as natural as breathing for you to be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying because He lives in you. The trouble is that he speaks with this still small voice that is so easy to drown out. To drown that voice with your activity, to drown that voice with all the soulish anxiety and fears and reasoning powers that we can get up to. Instead of just learning to be still in the presence of God and listen to Him, because your focus is on Him. Not upon a problem, not upon the need, not upon the circumstances, not upon your feelings, not upon your fears, but your focus is on Him.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
See, I mean, we've got a crowded room here, right? Many voices in this room. But if I want to listen to what one particular individual says, I'm going to tune in to that person. Before the meeting, many people were talking. I was just talking here with Clive. I was tuned into his voice, although there were many other voices, because my focus was on him and what he was saying. You see, if your focus is on the Lord, you will hear the voice of the Lord.
But he does not speak as the sound of God.
When I was listening to the Lord this morning, went something like this at the beginning. He didn't exactly say good morning, but he said, I am here. I love you. Just abide in me now. Today, you are to speak to my people about my kingdom. I want you to talk to them about hearing my voice just so naturally as you're listening to me now. I want you to assure them that when they hear my voice, they will see my power. Those who listen to what I say and believe me shall see the outworking of everything that I promise. It was all very quiet because Andrea was in the next door room asleep, so he didn't want to disturb her with a booming voice. Isn't this how it should be? And it's not you saying, oh, that's all right for you, you're Colin Urquhart. I know I'm Colin Urquhart. I've been aware of that for the last 67 years. But the same spirit that lives in me lives in you. See, I said to Caroline just before we went to bed last night, oh, I said, it's keynote in the morning. I wonder what on earth that's going to be about tomorrow. But I didn't get up in the middle of the night and say, oh, God, I've got to give the keynote. Lord, tell me what to say. He knew that I had to give the keynote. So he just started speaking to me about it. Well, this is the Lord I know. You see, he knows. There are two great, great, great revelations. The first is, I am. And the second is, I know.
Amen.
That's all you need to know, actually. That he is and he knows. That's all you need to believe.
Yes, it's true.
You believe that, you're home and dry, no matter what the situation. You believe who he is, you know he knows all about it, and therefore the one who is going to deal with what he knows about. So why do we make it so complicated? One thing is, you'll never con him. You'll never fool him. You'll never surprise him. You'll never actually even disappoint him. Because he knew what you were going to do before you could have disappointed him. He knows.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He knows all about next week. And he knows also, you see, that what he's been doing over these last weeks is maneuvering us towards this point where somebody dares to stand up and say, we're going to see the power of God. Not, oh God, visit us next week. Oh God, we need to see demonstrations of your power. Oh God, we do. It's not like that. He says he will, so he will. He will do everything that he reveals to us. Day by day. We shall see it. But you're not coming to a sideshow at a fun fair. Oh, what can we see? Because what God wants you to see, what he has spoken to you about, that he has shown you what he is about to do, that is going to be such a tremendous encouragement to your faith. Because then for the rest of your life, you have this principle established.
Yeah.
I hear it and I see it.
Yeah.
All right, one last thing. It is totally untrue to say you cannot hear the Lord. Paul couldn't say that everyone, everybody, and all prophesy if there are some believers who cannot hear the Lord. God needs a prophetic people. Now, within the prophetic people, there will be those with particular prophetic giftings. But don't for goodness sake ever get self-conscious about that.
That's right.
Because everybody will switch off from what you say when you do. The point is that in your whole relationship with the Lord, the most important thing you do is listen. Because you see, God's purpose is that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can you do his will if you don't hear what his will is?
Right.
And I'm not just talking about the will that he reveals in the Word of God. Whatever the Spirit says will always agree with the Word of God. But what is his will for you today and tomorrow and next week and the week after? You see, what is he saying to you? People often, you know, people with whom I work and be in relationship, I don't know how many thousands probably of times people have come to me and said, you know, I'm concerned about so-and-so, but I think I know what you're going to say. Or go and listen to what the Lord's saying. So I say to them, go and listen to what the Lord is saying. Because you see, you do have the answer within you. Oh, sometimes it does help to talk something out, because actually in the talking out, you begin to hear what the Lord is saying. Those of you that I'm teaching about counseling, I've told you, never tell the person the answer. Never tell the person the answer. You've got to help them to see the answer for themselves. Then it will affect them. If you tell them the answer, they probably won't believe you, and even if they do, they won't do it. But when they see the answer for themselves, then their lives will be changed, because they've heard His voice. That's what hearing for yourself is all about, isn't it? Amen?
Yeah.
And you know, our spiritual pride can really be provoked when you know the answer and you want to tell the answer and you want to tell someone, oh yeah, I know the answer. Boom, boom. And you think you've done a great job, and actually you've just put your great big spiritual foot in it. Because you didn't help them to see the answer for themselves. So, it's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, I can see how excited you are. Yeah. No, it is. It's going to be an exciting time. It really is going to be an exciting time. And just before we pray now, because we're going to spend some time listening to the Lord now. Is that all right? What is going to be really, really exciting is that whatever you hear, you're going to see.
Yes.
I think that's exciting.
Yes.
All you got to do is believe it when you hear it. You hear, believe, see.
Amen.
You see it in the spirit, and then you'll see it in reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? Right, let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for His power that shall be seen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Fear not, little flock, I have chosen to give you the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Come on, thank the Lord that the kingdom is within you. That it's not over here or over there, but the kingdom is within you. Thank Him that the power of the kingdom is within you. The life of the kingdom is within you. I think you can thank the Lord better than you are doing at this moment. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank Him that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Baralandaria leto bakara sato bakara sitri sato ba. Baralana mazataria lera bakara sitri sato bakara sandama. Baratapara zataria leto bakara sito ba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Paralala basato bakara sitri sato bakara sandori sato ba. Baratabra zatari eleto bakara sitri sato ba. Oh yes. What a wonderful God you are. What a mighty Lord you are. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Now thank him that the voice of God is within you, because the Spirit is within you. That he is at one with the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. He is listening all the time to the Father and the Son, and he's telling you what the Father and Son is saying. He's showing you what the Father and the Son are doing. He's promising you what the Father and Son are about to do. Thank the Lord that you're one of the everybodies, of the everyone, of the all that Paul is talking about. Thank him that you are prophetic, that you have a prophetic call upon your life. Not to give prophecies to other people, that's not what it's about, but just to hear God. Come on, thank the Lord you can hear the Lord. Now let's get rid of this lie. If any of you have been listening to this lie, you cannot hear God, you can't get through to God, you will never get through to God. But let me tell you, he has already got through to you because he lives in you. You don't have to get through to God. You just have to let God get through to you. Come on, he's there within you by his Spirit. Thank him that you have the voice of God within you. Oh, hallelujah. Now you're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of God. Thank him that you're a child of God. But the scripture declares those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So thank him that you have the Holy Spirit within you to lead you. Hallelujah. How does the Holy Spirit lead you? He speaks. Now the Holy Spirit is one with your spirit, and your spirit is part of you. You see, so it's not some mystical thing. It's not some strange thing. It's God simply by his Spirit speaking to your spirit, so it sounds the most natural thing. It's actually supernatural, but it's sort of supernaturally natural. It's just the normal for you to hear God and just to be tuned into the voice of God. That's why you need to start every day with the Lord, listening to the Lord, just getting in tune with his voice. Come on, just thank him now. Thank him. You're not listening to the liar who says you can't hear his voice. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that he holds the agenda. That he knows all about you, knows your thoughts, knows your circumstances, knows your fears, knows the problem. He knows what to speak to you about. Hallelujah. He knows what to say and how to say it so you'll get the message.
Because he knows you. Come on, thank him for this. I think some people hear the Lord and they don't really believe that it is the Lord that's speaking to them. Because it doesn't come with a thus saith the Lord. Of course it won't come with thus saith the Lord. If he's talking to you, he doesn't say thus saith the Lord. He just talks to you. Come on. If he's talking to you through someone else, it might be a thus saith the Lord. I don't know that he ever says, I, the Lord thy God, would say unto thee. But I mean, sometimes people like that formula. I don't know what it means, but anyway. But he speaks to you just quite normally and naturally. Hallelujah. Because he's come to make his home with you. When I talk to my wife, I don't say, thus saith your husband. And she doesn't say, thus saith your wife. I mean, we just talk to one another. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Oh, we are so blessed, Lord. We are so blessed to be the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. We are so blessed to have your voice within us. We are so blessed that we can hear what you're saying. Oh, we are so blessed, Lord, that you know and you care. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know everything, Lord. You know every situation that concerns us. Hallelujah. Satu bukara sitri satuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's just be still. Just listen. See, just listen. He'll be talking to you right now. He will talk to you anytime you care to listen, no matter where you are or what you're doing. You just pause and you listen and you'll hear him speak to you. It's very simple. So I believe he's making clear to some people now that you don't stop and listen because you're afraid of being deceived. Boy, isn't that a victory for the enemy? You're afraid that you won't really be able to hear what God is saying. The Lord's saying, I want you to trust what I say to you, not just what I say through others. I will confirm through others what I say to you, but I want you to hear my voice. Now the Lord is saying to all of us, I have put my kingdom within you because I want to reveal my kingdom through you. And because my kingdom is not a matter of talk, but of power, that means I want to reveal my power through you. You can't make me do what I have no intention of doing. But you have the power to do whatever you hear me say I will do. I want it to become as normal for you to listen to my voice as to listen to your own thoughts. But because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, I want you to value listening to my voice more than listening to your own thoughts. So thank the Lord now that you not only hear him, but you can prophesy. Not just give other people words, but you can speak into being that which God has spoken to you. And that's what you're going to be doing all next week and then forever in the future. Thank the Lord he's going to show you. Just like Jesus says that he only did the things he saw his Father doing. He's not only going to speak to you, he's going to show you. You're going to see. You're going to have this spiritual perception of what he's going to do. And there's going to be a tremendous sense of unity, you see. Because the Holy Spirit will be showing us all the same things, the same kind of things, the same direction. And we'll just really be so focused as a people moving together day by day in the purposes of God. Tremendous agreement in prayer because we're hearing the same thing. If any two of you agree concerning anything, it will be done by my Father in heaven. Because two have heard the same thing from the Lord, you see. So there's that agreement of what they hear, agreement of what they see, agreement in what they believe. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Now I want you to thank the Lord for the prophets he raises up. You'll find that genuine prophets are not the people that are self-pretentious about it. The real prophets don't walk around, you know, thinking they've got the prophetic answer to everything. Real prophets are humble men and women of God that are broken before him. And actually, because they hear certain things from God, they carry sort of great burdens in their spirit to see the purposes of God. They're very broken people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you raise up prophets But Lord, we thank you that the prophets do not have the monopoly of prophecy. They just have a particular anointing from you, a particular purpose. But we thank you that prophecy belongs to the body of Christ, to all, to everybody, to everyone. And we give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. Now I pray, Lord, that during these coming days you're going to encourage every one of us. And we won't get caught up in some fleshly thing and think that what you're asking us to do is to prophesy over other people's lives. But that, Lord, we really learn to be sensitive to your voice, to believe what you say, to speak and to pray into being what we hear from you, so that everything you have planned and you have purpose for next week actually does take place and we see it. That there will just be a glorious revelation of your power building up day by day by day. And we thank you, Lord, for all the people that are going to be drawn into your kingdom as a result. That you're not doing this for the sake of doing it, that it's not an end in itself, but so that the world might believe, so that many may be saved, so that sinners will be drawn to you. Lord, I pray that many unsaved people will come during the course of the week and that they will receive miracles that are the very evidence, the undeniable evidence that you are true. That we're not trying to convince people, we're not trying to speak them into the kingdom, but we see their lives being impacted by you. And we just give you glory, Lord. We just give you honor and praise. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, let that be the reaction of every unsaved person that comes. They will say, God is really among you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bind any wrong understanding of hearing and speaking from your Spirit. We just take authority over that now so that nobody gets into the flesh. Nobody gets proud. Nobody thinks they have a revelation that is better or greater or different from what everybody else is saying. But Lord, we want to see that consensus. We want to see that unity. We want to see how you lead the whole body together. And we give you glory and honor. We pray, Lord, for those who are going to be leading meetings, leading worship, those who will be bringing whatever word is necessary, those who will be leading as they are led by your Spirit. We believe, Lord, that every single time we come together, it's going to be a meeting with you. It's going to be different. It's going to be a unique thing. It's not going to be like any of the ordinary meetings that we've, at least the meetings that have become ordinary. But we're going to move in just different dimensions every day of the week. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We bless you, Lord. Purata parazatari eletuba. So, Holy Spirit, we want you to have great freedom amongst us. Great freedom within us and freedom amongst us, that you are free to lead us. You're free to do exactly what the Father and the Son want, so that you are glorified and praised and honored. And we bless you. We give you all the glory. Let's have the musicians forward quickly. We're just going to praise God before we finish. I want you to lift your hands and begin to praise him. Don't wait for them. Come on, hallelujah. Sarabatatarabataparazatuba. Barata barazatari eletto bakarasitaba. Barata barazatari eletto bakarasitri sandama.